All right, welcome back to the Back in Five podcast. My name is Sean Clark, and I am joined with Brad Belcher, our senior pastor. So it's good to have you here.
Well, it's great to be here, and this time we get to shift gears, and I get to interview you.
I know, yeah. It's a totally, this is our first time this has ever happened.
Right, and so, it's about time, really.
It's about time. Yeah. So, yeah, it was kind of a cool, we found ourselves kind of in a transition week, right, because we just finished up the Gospel of Mark, which was incredible, and this week is really cool because we're going to do what, Brad?
We're on our way to Genesis. We're going to go back to the beginning.
We are going to go back to the beginning. So there's going to be a ton of stuff there, and so we kind of found ourselves in a transition week. So, yeah.
Well, and this led you to sharing about this particular passage that recently has touched your heart awesome way. So tell us why this particular passage, Sean?
Yeah, when I was first looking at what we could potentially do this week, with it being baptism week, knowing that when you look at those individuals getting baptized, you can see that there's a transformation that has changed. There's something that's taken place that the old life is gone, the new has come, not because they're baptized, but because they've been saved by grace and they want to publicly proclaim their faith. And so thinking about this passage of scripture, you kind of get Paul's heartbeat in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. And so I was planning on just doing the six verses in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, but then I really realized that you can't really do the implications of chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 without discovering what's there in chapter 3, verse 18.
Right. Your main idea was, as we behold the glory of Jesus, we become different, which really epitomizes what happens as we give our lives to Christ and what was being witnessed by all of us through these baptisms.
Yeah.
Well, you start out with three stones that we needed to mine from the quarry of 2 Corinthians 3:18. Tell us about those stones.
Yeah, it's always like, well, instead of just having three points or three ideas, it's always like, well, how can I make creative and like, what can we get? How can we communicate this a little bit different sometimes? And so when I looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, I was like, okay, if there are, these are really important truths, and I called them stones that we needed to mine out of the quarry of 2 Corinthians 3:18 in order to have the implications of chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 apply to us. And so those three are, number one, you see there, the passage really kind of breaks down into three segments there in verse 18. One, our faces have been unveiled. Like, the veil has been lifted. Previously, the Apostle Paul said earlier in chapter 3 that only when one turns to the Lord is the veil lifted and we're able to see something. And so, as opposed to the Old Testament covenant, the old law, which could never really sanctify or wash us completely. And so the veil has been lifted from our faces, and now we can behold the glory of Jesus. What was once veiled and shadowy in the old covenant is now being realized, as the author of Hebrews would say, in Christ. And so now we can behold his glory, and the third stone there is, as a result of that, we are transformed. We always talk about wanting to be different, having different lives, and how does that actually take place? Well, by having the veil lifted, by beholding the glory of Jesus, stone two and stone three is now we can be transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit who indwells the lives of believers.
Yeah, share a little bit more about this unveiling idea, Sean, because it seems to me it's a pretty huge biblical theme, this idea that prior to being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit in us through faith, we really are blind.
Oh, yeah.
We are spiritually blind.
And, you know, it's interesting because as you move into the implications of chapter 4, you kind of get into that. You actually get this really bleak picture that the Apostle Paul paints, our lives before Christ. We are blinded. And so this unveiling that takes place is obviously a work of the Holy Spirit. We get that through regeneration, Titus chapter 3, verse 5. We're not sanctified or, you know, justified by works of the law, but this is done by the process of the Holy Spirit. And so,
what were those three things then you then developed from that unveiling? You know, now as we look to move forward in our lives, walking with Christ, what should that look like then?
Yeah. Well, the first thing is in chapter 4, verse 1, you get the Apostle Paul saying, look, don't lose heart, you know? And I think that's such a huge thing for us because sometimes we feel like, well, am I ever changing? Is anything going to be different? And the Apostle Paul says, look, don't lose heart because this is actually taking place. You are actually being transformed He'll say later on in 2 Corinthians, day by day. And so we're not supposed to lose heart. And he's trying to encourage us. And the Apostle Paul, more than anybody, had the chance to lose heart. You can see his sufferings and all the stuff that he went through. And yet he says, I'm pressed, but not crushed, and I'm persecuted, but I'm not abandoned. I'm struck down, but I'm not destroyed.
Yeah, this is such a word of encouragement for all of us, because all of us come to those places in life where things are just hard and we need encouragement.
Yeah.
So then you moved on to this next idea in verse 5.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, even before we get into verse 5, because I want to go back to verses 3 through 4, because it's a pretty bleak picture. You talked about having your minds unveiled to see and behold the glory of Christ. I thought there was a really powerful moment where the Apostle Paul says in verses 3 and 4 of that passage that the minds of the he says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. And in their case, the minds of the unbelievers have been blinded by the god of this world. And that is like a bleak picture. It sounds terrible to say that. And I wanted to really be careful with how I said this, but it's the words of God. And if you have eyes that are blinded, they're not functioning properly. And I think what the Apostle Paul is saying here is like, if your minds are blinded, then your mind is not functioning properly. Your ability to think about something or rationalize something is not working correctly. And the case in point is, you look at the beaten and bloodied body of Jesus hanging on the cross in our place, and we're indifferent to him. It's a very sad state of affairs. And so the Apostle Paul is going to say, look, even if your gospel that you're proclaiming is not being received by others, don't lose heart. Keep saying that, because hopefully God will do that revelation in those lives of people that don't see him.
Well, throughout my ministry, I've run into many people who've come to a place of faith in Christ who would say that prior to faith in Christ, they would read the Bible. It didn't make any sense.
Yeah, yeah.
But now in Christ, it's like the lights have come on.
Exactly.
And, oh, I get it. And that's that the blinders have been removed, and now we can truly see.
Right. It's amazing. You get the passage in Acts 9 where actually like scales are falling from the Apostle Paul's eyes. So I think he's probably thinking about that as he's writing 2 Corinthians.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so yeah, getting on to verse 5, you know, well, then what should we do? Well, first, we shouldn't lose heart. And then second, we need to continue to be a church that proclaims Jesus Christ as the Lord. And I think the Apostle Paul is, you know, he's using those three titles, Jesus, this God-man who actually God acted in history. He is the Christ, the expected one, and he's the Lord. He's the sovereign of the whole universe. And you know, you get the Apostle Peter in the day of Pentecost, you know, proclaiming that he is both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you've crucified. So it's important that we proclaim those things about our Messiah. So we as a church, we have to be about proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord, because that's the only way that people are going to get saved. You get Romans 10. How are they going to hear unless someone preaches, right?
If we're to be about making disciples who make disciples, we have to be a church of proclamation, for sure.
Yeah.
And then lastly there, what'd you wrap up with?
Yeah, and the second half of that verse is amazing, is not only do we need to be a church that needs to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, but then we need to serve other people for his sake. Position yourself in the form of a servant, just like Jesus did in Philippians 2, and serve people. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than themselves. And then the reason for all of that is because of verse 6. We've been so blessed by God, for God, you know, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to reveal to us, the beauty, the worth, and, the treasure that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we want to be a church that goes about the business of proclaiming him as Lord and then serving other people for his sake.
Yeah, and make a great church slogan.
It would, yeah.
Proclaiming Christ as Lord with ourselves as your servants. Let's go with it.
Yeah, man, I love it. Because if there was something that I try to encourage the congregation with, this is like, we have to be a church that proclaims Jesus Christ as Lord and serves other people for his sake. Otherwise, why do we exist? You know, why? So.
Well, at one point, my favorite illustration you used in the message was a discussion about the Pez dispenser.
We are Pez dispensers, yes.
In what way are we Pez dispensers, O'Shawn?
Yes, yeah. If you think about a Pez dispenser, you know, you put some pressure on this thing, and it just simply opens up its mouth, or sometimes its throat.
On the clown head.
Right, yeah. Sometimes whatever. The throat opens up, and this little sugary nugget comes out, and maybe it tastes good, maybe it doesn't. But the point is that the Apostle Paul is going to say in chapter 4, verse 1, look, when you have the pressures and afflictions of life and it presses in on you, he says, don't lose heart. You've been called to do a ministry by the mercy of God. And so when those pressures come, just dispense grace to people instead of law. You know, dispense the grace that's been given to you and proclaim Jesus Christ as Savior and serve other people and then see what the Lord does with that.
Well, it was an awesome message and you did a super job. And I just appreciated your diligence, your due diligence in proclaiming God's word to all of us. And it was very well received. So thank you so
very
much,
good.
Sir.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, Elijah, come here. You guys don't know this, but it is Bring Your Child to Work Day. So Elijah, you want to say hi to the people on the podcast?
Hi.
Did you have fun working with Daddy today?
Uh-huh.
Who else came into work today?
I don't know.
Was it Nora?
Uh-huh.
Did you guys have fun?
Mm-hmm.
All right, very good. All right, we hope to see you out this weekend. April 30th, we kick off our new series on the book of Genesis. It's going to be epic.
Yeah, we hope so.
We'll see you there. Bye-bye.